Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. I appreciate you being here today. Before we begin the official proceedings of the council, I begin each week by asking a question to you folks here and also the television audience watching. The question is, how are the children? And the reason I ask that question is that I know that when our children are cared for, our community as well. And we always have folks come in and talk to us about issues around children. And today we have Helena Morse, who is a sixth grader at Gilkey International Middle School, and Taro Duncan, a sixth grader also at Gilkey International. So if you folks could come up, please. This is a middle school program of the French American International School that offers French-based classes at preschool through elementary, and a middle school program where students choose to study in French or English and add a foreign language. So I appreciate you folks being here, and either one of you can begin.
Hello, I'm Tara Moan Duncan, and I live in the Old Germantown Road area. This is a small road but has a huge forest with animals such as coyotes, elk, deer, exotic hawks, and many other animals. But when you take Kaiser Road up to Springville Road, there's an urban growth boundary. What I find humorous about this intersection is that when you pass before Springville, you see cows. And when you glance from the cows up towards Springville Road, there are townhomes. And well, I just wish the urban growth boundary will not come toward the homes of animals. And yeah. Next, I will talk about littering. This is a severe problem in my neighborhood. My family finds suds in the creek, beer bottles thrown into a ditch purposely by humans. My family picks up as much trash as possible to save the forest on our weekend walks. We should each try and save these neighborhoods from certain litter problems. I shall end my speech by saying many other people will not be unhappy if this line moves closer toward the homes of animals and the littering problem will become more of a problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Helena Morse. I live in Southwest Portland in a beautiful and safe neighborhood. My friends live in walking distance, and dogs being walked are in various places. My neighborhood is complete with a grocery market, park, school, cafe, and lots more. Most of the houses are big. The yard's beautiful. Bushes, trees, and plants outline the neighborhood. It's a very clean environment because of fellow citizens willing to clean up their garbage. But is it only my neighborhood that is willing to help? Actually, no. Other neighborhoods are helping too, but if we put all the litter that Portland has produced together, we have a major problem. So I talked to my godfather, Ron Schutz, and he and I came up with a great idea to keep our litter under control. Most of you might know this, but twice a year, the Oregon coast has a cleanup party, which many people attend. There you clean the beaches, and you get to enjoy the scenery while hanging out with friends. So Portland could have a cleanup party similar to this, except for instead of cleaning the beaches, we could clean the litter out of our streets. Each neighborhood could have a big stack of bags, and each person could take one at a time. For each bag a person fills up, they could get a stamp. Once they have 10 stamps or something like that, they can receive a prize, and they'll be able to attend a neighborhood party. I know this idea might sound expensive, and our taxes will raise if we do this, but if we get a company like Fred Meyer to support this by donating the prizes and bags, our taxes will stay the same, but our city gets a lot cleaner, and its beauty impresses everyone. The Portland citizens will also feel very proud of being in such a clean city. I really hope you take this idea into consideration. It would help Portland's environment so much. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you both, and I really appreciate the fact that you're concerned about our environment. You know, Tara, I noticed 20 years ago when I was a police officer and I worked at North Precinct, I used to come down Germantown Road. I noticed a lot of people dumped their garbage, intentionally dumped garbage along that particular road, and one day I stopped and picked up some of the garbage, and I called the people who owned it. I told them to come pick up their garbage, and they did. So maybe some of you folks should do the very same thing, because they're doing it so they don't have to pay to have a garbage hauler haul it off, and it's not fair to you folks to have to put up with that. So thank you for pointing that out to us. Thank you both. Let's give these young folks a hand. City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Stand? Potter?
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, the lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 244, request of Gil Fry to address Council regarding story of Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Excuse me, sir, are you with him?
Yes. He asked me to be with
him. Oh, okay. You're his support.
Very.
Anchor.
The anchor.
I'm very pleased to have him here. Your Honor.
Okay. Please, could you please sit down, sir?
Yes, yes.
Thank you. And please state your name when you speak, and you have a total of 3 minutes.
My name is Gil Fry. I am from Milwaukee, Oregon. And I went to Kennedy Grade School, Jefferson High School, University of Portland. And I'm here on behalf of many, many veterans. I may represent maybe possibly a million people, but I can't say who they are. But I think that if they were to be more informed on our Coliseum, they would, many of them agree with me. And I do recognize that there are veterans who disagree with what I have to do. I brought a hat along because I was in the military. I had a lady friend say, well, you weren't in the military. And I said, where did you pick up that? And so anyway, I brought my hat along. And the unit I was in was the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment. And that is the unit that was created by the government to protect the travelers to Oregon, in the Oregon country, back in about 1848, they created this unit, the cavalry. And I didn't really remember that, but I read it within the last 2 years. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm here on behalf of my family, of which there were 9 boys, and between the years of 45 and 1956, 7 of the boys served in the military. And so consequently, when it was announced that they were going to make a decision by March of 01, I figured I had to say, hey, this is a memorial. This is a memorial to our veterans, and we need to do something about it. Actually, when the Blazers were planning the Rose Garden, they held a public meeting in 1992. And I was there, and I said, don't tear the Coliseum down for parking. And it had nothing to do with the veterans in my mind. I mean, I wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking it's going to go because I want it for parking. And it survived that particular session. But then it revived itself in the year of 2000 when it was announced that there would be a redo it campaign. I would like to say a comment about 24 and 7. A lot of the folks in the Lloyd Center said we need this to be a 24 and 7 facility, and we need to see it that way. I would like to tell you about 24 and 4. 24 and 4 is what occurred over the weekend, and it was the OSAA Wrestling Championships that all came to Portland. There were about 1,000 competitors from all over the state, and it was an awesome event. And Mr. DeLance Duncan here, who I'm delighted to have come, was very much involved in the decision-making process that brought this wrestling tournament back to Portland. And it filled up the motels and hotels, and it sent people out to eat. And they were here 24 hours a day for about 4 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. So I'm pleased to introduce Mr. DeLance Duncan, who has had a lot to do with the wrestling world over the last, 50 years.
Mr. Fry, your time is up, sir.
I think I heard the buzzer. I do want to present you with some pictures. And
give them to the council clerk, and she'll distribute them for us.
Okay. This is the Blazer team of 2002, and it's probably the most expensive company that ever came here, because the payroll was probably about $100 million. It's a great picture, and I want you to be able to have it and show it around to your people here. This is the ice skating championships.
Sir, your time is up.
I understand.
Your time is up.
I understand. Here you go.
Thank you.
And here's a hockey team.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tough to do all that in 3 minutes.
I understand.
You bet.
Thank you.
I hope you'll read all the material I gave you. It's 35 pages. And based on your own valuation, it's
you're
worth...
You're over your time limit. You're
it's
done.
It's worth about $80,000.
You're done.
$5,000. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry. I'm sorry, sir, that I took too long.
Is that the only communication?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Please, we're going to move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Does any member of this audience wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time certain.
Item 245, adopt the recommendations in the 82nd Avenue of Roses High Crash Safety Corridor Safety Action Plan Report.
Commissioner Adams.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the City Council, I'm pleased today to offer for your consideration the 82nd Avenue of Roses High Crash Corridor Safety Plan. This, in part, is the result of the $11 million provided by the City Council over the past 2 years to Portland Office of Transportation. About 50% of the $11 million has been allocated to improve the safety at intersections and roadways in East Portland. 82nd Avenue of Roses is Portland's most dangerous roadway. The data highlighted, and you'll hear more about it, shows that 82nd Avenue has the highest incidence of crashes, injuries, and fatalities, and the highest number of high crash locations in the city of Portland. This has been a great cooperative effort, because this is actually Highway 213. This has been a great cooperative effort with Jason Tell and the Oregon Department of Transportation. I just want to acknowledge the whole ODOT, PDOT team up front for, and all the neighborhoods that have been involved with this on what I think has been a great process for coming to these recommendations on how we can improve the safety.
Rich Newlands, Portland Office of Transportation. The Office of Transportation, in partnership with the Oregon Department of Transportation, is pleased to present to Council today the 82nd Avenue Roses High Crash Corridor Safety Plan for adoption by resolution. There are numerous issues to address in our city's major arterials, from capacity to livability and economic development, but none are as serious as safety. A mere 4% of Portland streets, all high-volume arterials such as 82nd Avenue, count for over 66% of all pedestrian fatalities and 58% of serious pedestrian injuries. Recent crash data gives 82nd Avenue the dubious distinction of being Portland's most dangerous roadway. Six of the top 16 high crash locations within the entire city are on 82nd Avenue. Developed by the Oregon Department of Transportation, high crash corridor safety action plans represent the introduction of a promising new tool to address transportation safety issues on state highways within the city of Portland. High crash corridor safety action plans emphasize three important elements in addressing safety problems. First, unlike more traditional transportation planning that attempts to tackle a wide range of issues, high crash corridor safety action plans are designed to be focused solely on transportation safety. Second, high crash corridor safety action plans are designed to provide a relatively quick response to safety issues. Our goal is to substantially complete most of the planned action items within 2 years of adoption. This is aided both by a focus on safety during the planning process and through the use of readily available, proven, and relatively low-cost tools. The action items are not intended to solve all of 82nd Avenue's safety problems. Rather, they provide an immediate response to safety issues while progress is being made towards more permanent long-term improvements when more substantial funding becomes available. Finally, it's important to note that High Crash Corridor Safety Action Plans fully embrace the 3E multidisciplinary approach to transportation problem solving. We address each safety issue by comprehensively considering engineering, education, and enforcement solutions. The 3E approach is built primarily on the coordination and partnership with the Oregon Department of Transportation, TriMet, and the Portland Police Bureau, whom we are very grateful. We have also partnered with the 82nd Avenue community to help ensure that we are focusing on issues and solutions that reflect the priorities. The study area covers a distance of over 7 miles, which includes 11 neighborhood associations and 2 business associations, as well as several schools and senior living facilities. To accommodate this large and diverse community, we gathered input through a variety of means over the course of the plan development process. This effort included 6 open house events, a survey, a walking tour, and a citizens advisory committee.
Kirsty Hall, City of Portland Office of Transportation. Next slide. Our 82nd Avenue of Roses Transportation Safety Action Plan identifies 12 key transportation safety issues that are prevalent along the corridor and identifies engineering, education, or enforcement-based solutions to address each issue. Almost all proposed solution action items in the plan have received dedicated project funding for implementation over the next 2 years. Some of the top action items incorporated in the plan include the following. Pedestrian safety. Extensive project community feedback repeatedly told us one thing. Pedestrian safety needs to be made an absolute top priority along the 82nd Avenue of Roses, given its status as Portland's most dangerous stretch of roadway. The Safety Action Plan intends to construct or replace 59 missing or substandard corner curb ramps to enable wheelchairs, strollers, and the elderly to more safely navigate the sidewalks. It also plans to construct over 3,000 feet of sidewalk where currently missing, to improve pedestrian safety and ensure a continuous pedestrian network with access to transit and services along 82nd. Next slide. Pedestrian safety, crossings. A more complex safety issue identified by the community is that of the difficulty for pedestrians trying to cross the corridor safely at unsignalized intersections. 82nd Avenue is not only a very heavily trafficked street, it's also a street with very widely spaced traffic signals. Crossing at traffic signals is currently the only way for pedestrians to cross 82nd Avenue in a protected fashion. The majority of the signals along the corridor are spaced between 2,000 and 2,600 feet apart, meaning pedestrians, particularly more vulnerable roadway users, have no choice but to cross 5 lanes of high-speed traffic unprotected. To address this problem, the plan identifies 6 proposed locations along the corridor to construct pedestrian median refuge islands. These proposed pedestrian refuge islands would enable pedestrians to cross this busy road more safely in 2 stages as opposed to 1. Next slide. Education action items we're proposing. Education plays a crucial role in addressing Portland's transportation safety issues. This plan sets out our newly launched iBrake for People pedestrian safety campaign, which has been very popular so far along the corridor. We've created it to target 82nd Avenue specifically. We also promote the continuation of the Portland Walks Be Safe trainings and the Safer Routes to School program along 82nd Avenue. Next slide. The 82nd Avenue MAX and Transit stop at Jones Moore. A safety concern of special note is the area surrounding the 82nd Avenue MAX light rail station. A separate crime prevention through environmental design group called the 82nd Avenue MAX Platform Work Group has been working for the past year on developing a program of improvements at this specific location. PDOT, in collaboration with our partners ODOT, TriMet, and the Portland Police Bureau, is committed to funding improvements that support this collaborative effort at this location. Next slide. High crash intersections. As Rich has already mentioned, 6 of the city's highest crash intersections are located along 82nd Avenue. An analysis has shown that many would benefit significantly from low-cost intersection improvements. The plan identifies funding to study and treat specific safety improvements at 3 priority intersections along 82nd and study for a 4th. Treatments may likely include changes in signal timing, signal equipment, or striping and signage. Next slide. Enforcement. Our plan also relies on good coordination with the Portland Police Bureau to provide increased and focused enforcement of traffic laws along the corridor. 3 designated 82nd Avenue safe corridors, that's strategic and focused enforcement, will see increased Portland Police Bureau enforcement as part of our plan. Next slide. Project funding. Planning and development of this plan was made possible through a Safe Communities grant, which is administered through the Oregon Department of Transportation. Our partnership with ODOT is something which we look forward to continuing in future on other high crash corridors in the city. Project implementation funding for improvements laid out in our plan comes from a variety of sources, including one-time general funds, pedestrian curb ramp funds, Community and School Traffic Safety Partnership Funds, and prioritization of existing ODOT, PDOT, and Police Bureau resources. Next slide. Project community endorsement. We couldn't have done this project without the input and collaboration with community members. We have received written project community endorsement from all community organizations listed on the screen. We would like to thank the various agency and community stakeholders who worked with us consistently to help build this plan. In particular, ODOT, the Portland Police Bureau, TriMet, our Citizens Advisory Committee, and all of the neighborhood and business associations who have worked with us to endorse this plan. Their great partnership has enabled us to develop a plan that we hope can serve as a template for future high-crush corridor safety corridors in the city, helping to further improve our efficiency in responding to the city's most crucial transportation safety needs. Thank you. I'd now like to introduce two speakers from two organizations that we've worked with extensively here at PDOT in the development of this plan. Firstly, Jason Tell, who is the Region 1 Manager of ODOT, and Commander Mike Krebs from the Portland Police Bureau's East Precinct. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
Sure. I'm Mike Krebs. I'm the commander of East Precinct.
Jason Tell. I'm the Region 1 Manager for ODOT.
I'll go ahead and go first. As you know, 82nd Avenue runs through East Precinct, and I know that this plan is designed to reduce crashes and increase pedestrian safety and bicycle safety, and it's going to do that. I've been working with PDOT and ODOT to get this plan going. But as part of that, not only is it going to reduce crashes and make pedestrians safe, but I think it's going to increase the livability there in 82nd. 82nd is a major crime problem for East Precinct and Southeast Precinct. And by adding these new things, the ramps, the sidewalks, and have increased enforcement will cause people to get out and start using the corridor more often and not stay in their homes. One of the things we find is if people get out and walk the community, get engaged, and they're good people, it sometimes chase away the people who are out there doing the wrong thing. So I would encourage you to adopt the plan, not only because it's going to reduce crashes, but it's going to improve livability along 82nd Avenue. And it is a major, major business piece for the city of Portland and for East Precinct. And oftentimes when I'm at meetings and stuff, people are always talking to me about 82nd Avenue and ways we can improve it. So I would encourage you to adopt it. I won't speak much more. I think most of you know where I come from. I want to reduce crime and the fear of crime in East Precinct. So this will do it. Thanks.
Again, Jason Tell, I'm the Region 1 Manager for the Oregon Department of Transportation. I'm very happy to be here today to testify in support of the 82nd Avenue Roses High Crash Corridor Safety Action Plan. And I really want to acknowledge the work that PDOT staff did, ODOT, TriMet, Portland Police, and others. It's been an outstanding cooperative effort. Our mission, safety first at ODOT, and it's something we strive to do every day, not just for automobiles, but also for pedestrians, bicyclists, and folks who are trying to access transit. The partnership that we've had on this project has been really important because the only way we're really going to take the issues that are being identified by the community and turn them into action is if we work together. 82nd Avenue is an interesting road. It's really a hybrid. It's a state highway, as Commissioner Adams mentioned, but it functions like a city street, like a heavily used arterial. And ODOT's responsible for the roadway, but the city is responsible for the sidewalks. In the region that I am responsible for, it's a 5-county area. I go east to Hood River and west to Columbia County, in addition to the Portland area. We have 200 top crash sites in that 5-county area. 11 are on 82nd Avenue. And so that's why, as a result of that, it's a high priority for ODOT as well as the city to try to improve safety on 82nd. And the presentation you saw covered a lot of what I'll mention just very briefly, but I want to highlight a few things. There's a lot of steps we're already taking in addition to this hopeful action today of adopting the plan. We've already funded and implemented the I Break for People campaign, and that's out there in a lot of different venues right now. Working with SEPTED, which was mentioned earlier, we have $30,000 of improvements that are designed and ready to go at Jonesmore and 82nd. And that's to help facilitate pedestrians getting to transit, to and from their transit stops. And that's something we did in collaboration with all the partners we've mentioned. Another thing we're doing that I think is going to be really critical looking ahead to the future is working with PDOT. We've started an effort that we're calling the 82nd Avenue of Roses Design Corridor Strategy. And the goal really is to try to reach agreement on how we're going to design these pedestrian crossings, lighting, the roadway features, and other things as a whole corridor. It's a proactive effort to try to get agreement on how we're going to design and do these improvements. What's happening now, I think, is a lot of these projects are coming up one at a time, and we have to go through a lot of work to make sure the state standards work with the city standards. And really the effort is, let's look at the whole corridor, be proactive, sit down and work that ahead of time so that when the money shows up, we're ready to go quickly with projects. And I'm confident that the work we're doing on 82nd on this effort, this corridor strategy, if we're successful, I think we'll be able to apply it in other corridors like Powell and Lombard. So in closing, I want to thank Commissioner Sam Adams for his leadership on transportation, particularly on 82nd, and Sue Keel and her staff at PDOT are just doing outstanding work. It's essential we work together if we're going to make roads like 82nd work better for people. And this is just a great example of what can be done when we work together. So I appreciate the time to talk to you today.
Thank you. You know, someone referred to the Avenue of Roses as a high-speed road. It's, I think, 35-mile-an-hour speed limited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you folks also, as part of the enforcement strategy, considered red light cameras and or the use of
The photo radar?
Photo radar.
You know, I'll be working with the traffic division. When this all started up, Vince Jarmer was the captain over there, and I'll work with them to get those kind of amenities to the 82nd Avenue corridor. I mean, part of it's going to be East Precinct doing the enforcement, also the traffic division. They've committed to doing that, so I will look into both of those.
So when I looked at the three major reasons, they're the same reasons that I saw 30 years ago when I was in the police bureau. So it's time to change some habits out there, and I certainly hope this is a move in that right direction.
Well, I think it's a great start, Mayor. I think it's awesome. I think getting all the partners together to do something like this really energizes the whole area, because it can be a real vital part of Portland as long as we put the resources and money into it.
I agree, and I agree about your other comment about them becoming more user-friendly to pedestrians, and that would displace some of the problem, folks.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Anybody else to testify? How many folks have signed up to testify?
We have four people signed up.
Please call the first three.
Bill Barber, Catherine Knotson, and Jess Leventhal.
Thanks for being here today, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes, and anyone can begin.
Good morning, Mayor and members of Council. I'm Bill Barber. I'm the neighborhood planner for Central Northeast Neighbors Coalition, and we were one of the key players in this project. I'm here to support it on behalf of our board. As has been mentioned, one of the things that's been very impressive with the project is the level of intergovernmental cooperation, especially between PDOT and ODOT. A second factor in the project that's been very impressive for the surrounding neighborhoods is the level of public involvement. There were a couple of very well-attended public workshops at our coalition office. And we also helped organize a field trip of the project area that I felt was very effective. I'm really encouraged by the mix of the education, the engineering, and enforcement approach to the project. And I think especially with the engineering and the proposed pedestrian improvements, including new sidewalks, which are really needed on 82nd, the curb cuts, and then the pedestrian median islands. Another real key factor with the project is how it really supports other efforts that are going on, such as the 82nd Max station platform safety improvements. And then last but not least, It makes me really hopeful for the future of 82nd. I think it can be a real key arterial street for the city in the future, and I feel like this is a great first step. So, again, thank you for the opportunity to testify.
My name is Catherine Knotson. I'm a resident of the South Tabor neighborhood. This is my third transportation committee that I have been on. I've had three streets surrounding my neighborhood, Division, Powell, and now 82nd Avenue come before you, and I'm asking you for the third time to adopt a transportation plan. I feel that this is a very equitable and fair plan, that there will be even treatment along the corridor in and of itself. There are three education projects that have funded and begun. One you've already know about is the iBreak for People. I was there at the Vestal Elementary School when we had our media event there. One of the things that go along with that, with the enforcement, is the crosswalk education portion of this. And I will tell you that Donna Tallman, who is an insurance agent with State Farm Insurance on Powell Boulevard at 63rd Avenue in Powell, is educating her clients, her customers, about this new crosswalk law as well. So you do have some businesses that are supporting this, even if they are not on 82nd Avenue. The Powell Boulevard signalization has been upgraded, and there have been some improvements there. I can hardly wait to see what happens to Division Street. Three times I observed vehicles making illegal left turns from westbound Southeast Division Street to southbound 82nd Avenue by passing vehicles in the front of the turn pocket on the left side, crossing the double yellow line into the Southeast Division Street eastbound lane in order to pass the first vehicle in the turn pocket. I was very amazed to see that three times. Pedestrians don't have enough time to cross at Division Street. Then when there's no traffic there, if you turn your head, you might miss the white man blinking come on, because it only lasts for a moment if there's absolutely no traffic at that intersection going from the southwest corner to the southeast corner. And I look for improvements on the pedestrian signalization there as well. New curb wraps and the pedestrian medians will definitely be welcomed, and I agree with what Jason Tell and Commander Mike Krebs said about there will be more people using the sidewalks. If you build them, they will be there. So I'm asking for your support in adopting this plan. And I also want to thank Sharon White, who's not able to be with us, Rich Newlands, and well as Kirsty Hall for helping to coordinate the efforts for this project. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jess Laventhal. I represent the Lentz Neighborhood Association and the Lentz Urban Renewal Advisory Committee. And I just want to, again, acknowledge Rich, Kirsty, and Sharon for the open community involvement process. It happened all throughout last year. It gave us ample opportunity for residents all along the 82nd Avenue of Roses corridor to contribute. And residents of Lentz, contribute they did. 82nd Avenue is a very important transportation arterial for our neighborhood. It is also a major source of concern. In fact, of a survey of all community members, pedestrian safety is the top concern of the 82nd Avenue of Roses. And in Lentz, four of the top five dangerous intersections are in the Lentz neighborhood. So that means that 82nd Avenue is very important and is a high priority. We are also more of a working class neighborhood, and we have much higher pedestrian needs that are unmet. Not only in 82nd Avenue, but throughout the neighborhood that we're trying to address. And this 82nd Avenue of Roses High Crash Corridor Safety Plan really addresses a strong sore point of the needs. If you'll notice on our Safety Action Plan Matrix, which is on pages 15 through 19, I believe, of the plan, a lot of the focus goes into engineering, education, and enforcement, particularly towards safety improvements. But I want to add also there's another invisible E in there, and that is called encouragement. And that encourages people to go out and walk and use alternative forms of transportation. I think that really contributes to a more livable city here in Portland, and that's really our goal here. So improving the three E's is really the basis for making a much better fourth E. Lastly, I want to conclude that this 82nd Avenue Roses High Crash Corridor Safety process is a very cohesive process for neighborhoods. I think we had agreement all across, all along the corridor from the north end all the way to the Clackamas County line. And I'd like to see more of this kind of cross-bureau cooperation for improvements. We have many other corridors that need this kind of attention, including Powell, among others. And thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, folks.
The last person who signed up is Ken Turner.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, commissioners. It is, I guess, goes without saying that it's a pleasure to be here this morning talking about improvements on Southeast 82nd Avenue. The reputation and the monikers that's been attributed to the avenue is something that we don't like, we don't want, and hopefully with the passage of this proposal, changes will start. I do want to thank Commissioner Adams for his leadership. It's a thank you from a campaign promise that's been fulfilled, and is muchly appreciated. The 82nd Avenue Business Association has been in full support of this of the process and this proposal from early on. Cars, autos are something that the business community rely upon. We need cars. We like cars. We like the customers that come in cars. But we also understand that traffic has to be managed for it to be beneficial. And management, if you have a question of managing traffic on 82nd Avenue, just go out to 82nd Avenue about Division, looking south, say between 4:30 and 6:30, and you'll see, 2 or 3 mile long traffic jam. It's pathetic. It really is pathetic. It just shuts down, the system. And hopefully with the implementation of this program, some of that will be eradicated. Again, I appreciate being here. I ask for your support in implementing this proposal.
Thanks for being a good partner and working with us on it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Is that it?
That's all who signed up.
Is anybody here who wishes to testify to this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank, in addition to Sakil and Lavinia Gordon, I want to thank Rich Newlands, Sharon White, Kirstie Allen, Sammy Fouts, Rafael Howe. I also want to thank Suzanne DiGnasi, Shelley Romero, and Casey Humphrey from ODOT. Really appreciate it. Want to thank the good folks of the Portland Police Bureau. Jess said it really well. We are using the money that we've cobbled together from ODOT and unanticipated resources from PDOT to work on 82nd Avenue. By no means have we fixed everything. We fixed what we can with the money that we have. And I also want to just acknowledge that, when Jess said there's a lot more work to do in East Portland, there really is a lot more work to do. But we've made some headway, and I want to thank everyone for participating in that. Aye.
Leonard?
Yeah, this is a very impressive report, particularly given the cooperation with ODOT and the city. I really appreciate everybody's excellent effort. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, once again, this is a very impressive effort, both in terms of its outreach, but also its detail. It's definitely, no pun intended, a roadmap for improving safety here on 82nd, our Avenue of Roses. And so it's a great piece of work, and pleased to support it. Aye.
Potter.
And I, too, am pleased to support it. It's been a thorn in the side of the folks who live and work on 82nd for many years. And hopefully this is the beginning of changing that around to make it a street that's not just accessible, but is safe for cars as well as pedestrians. So I look forward to hearing back as to how the results turn out on this. I vote aye. It's only 10:15, so we're not going to hear the 10:30 until at least 10:30. So we're going to move to the regular agenda. Please read item 253.
Increased contract with CDA Consulting Group, Inc. for continued services to support the Urban Areas Security Initiative Grant Program.
Carmen, could you come forward?
Good morning. Carmen Merlo with the Office of Emergency Management. As you know, since 2003, the City of Portland has been selected as what's called a UASI center. It's the Urban Area Security Initiative, and it includes the City of Portland as the core city in the five-county region, which includes Multnomah, Clackamas, Columbia, Washington, and Clark County in Washington State. And since that time, we've been awarded over $40 million in Homeland Security grant funds. Along with that comes pretty rigorous administrative burdens. And so built into that process, we included costs for a contractor to help with everything from managing 11 discipline subcommittees, a point of contact committee, helping us apply for the grant, doing all kinds of reporting requirements, both fiscal and programmatic, also helping to do strategic development and developing SOPs. So we knew that once we did hire a contractor, we wanted to keep them for the maximum time period to ensure the continuity of knowledge and project management. And so the first year of funding, we did a competitive RFP. We selected CDA as the successful candidate in that process. And we wanted to maintain that contractor for the full five-year maximum period, which this contract now brings us to. It brings us to the last year of the five-year cycle. The recent grant that we just received from the Homeland Security Office is for about $6.7 million. It's the 07 grant. We're now in the process of submitting an application for the 08 grant. The contract extends through December 28th of 2008. After that time period, we will have to go out and do another competitive bid process for the next candidate. But this amendment essentially closes out that five-year cycle and helps ensure the continuity of the UASI grant program.
Questions from the commissioners?
So it's used for what on-the-ground sort of activities or planning efforts?
Right. So we use it for everything from helping us facilitate 11 discipline subgroups. We've got a law enforcement work group, fire, public health, communications, public information, emergency management, health. Those meet monthly, as well as a point of contact group, help us apply for the grant funds, help us submit semi-annual progress and fiscal reports, do constant reprogramming of grant funds. And I want to point out that the contract is all paid for with Homeland Security grant funds. There is no general fund dollars set aside for this. And then help us develop a strategy, which is a requirement of the grant, and also standard operating procedures for each of the subcommittees that meet.
Maybe slightly off topic, but since I got you in front of us, when was the last time we did a tabletop exercise on response to potential flooding with the big snowpack up in the mountains, and having lived through the mid-90s flood, if we get a bunch of rain and everything warms up, right. When is the last time we did a flood tabletop?
We actually, all the Bureau City Emergency Managers met 2 weeks ago, just after the National Weather Service issued a press release on their predictions for a potential flood event. And so we met for 4 hours on the morning of, I think it was a Tuesday, 2 weeks ago, to tabletop what our response would be.
How'd it go?
Pretty well. I think all of us are confident that there are sufficient plans in place and we have sufficient resources in the region to respond effectively to a flood event.
I attended that meeting, and I wanted to make sure that all of the bureaus had updated plans to respond. And I read the original response to the 96 flood, and also asked if the stockpiles were sufficient to respond to a large-scale flood similar to the 96 flood. And I was told that, particularly by Bureau Maintenance, that there were sufficient supplies that they now have. Instead of using the plywood on the seawall, they actually have steel plates that they can attach to the frame of the seawall, and that will provide additional height for the flood zones. There were additional issues, though, that I don't know have been resolved. I asked about BES and their response to the big dig, the hole in the behind OMSI there. I don't know if that's within the floodplain, but it would be a tremendous problem if that water got into that the opening. Plus, we also have Swan Island, the transfer for the BES,
sewage.
Plus, we've got in 96, we didn't have South Waterfront development. So there's just a whole lot of areas that I've asked folks to make sure that we have got sufficient plans, including now in the riverfront area in Northwest Portland, there are sections that are not covered by our flood plan. So private development in that area, I've asked them to make them aware that the private development has to take their own precautions to protect their new investments from potential flooding on the scale of 96.
So are folks going to get back to you with their best response to those good questions?
Well, I've asked them to get back to Carmen, yes. Okay.
And do you recall how the snowpack this year compares to the mid-90s?
Yeah, it's between 300% and 500% of what it was during the 1996 flood. The difference back then was, you'll recall the term Pineapple Express, where we had a very warm subtropical area of pressure come in, coupled with 4 days of pretty heavy torrential rain. This year it was a little different in that we didn't have that subtropical weather come in, nor did we have that a four-day period of rain come in. We had a pretty heavy rain for a couple of days, a break, and then another 2 to 3 days of heavy rain. So all of that helped ensure a pretty minimal runoff of the snowpack.
Minimal.
Thank you.
But it was the rain and the fact that it had saturated the ground that really caused the flooding.
Correct.
So and the warm.
And the warm, right. The subtropical weather that came in. Right.
But our forecasts don't predict those similar kinds of...
Not right now, they don't, right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, they had an Oregon climatologist come in and talk about that, and that they provided some good information. Further questions? Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet set out.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Thank you. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. We still have another 8 minutes to go. Please read item 254.
Authorize limited tax revenue refunding bonds.
Staff?
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Eric Johansson, Debt Manager in the Office of Management and Finance. This ordinance before you this morning authorizes the city to refinance or convert its existing $150 million of variable rate pension obligation bonds into fixed rate debt. These variable rate bonds are in the form of auction rate securities, and I distributed a memo on Friday talking about some of the problems that are occurring in the auction rate market currently. And these problems are leading issuers of bonds of auction rate bonds, including the city, to pay higher interest rates than would normally be the case on these securities. And as a result of the market disruption and the fact that long-term fixed rates are still very favorable, Chief Administrative Officer has directed that I start the process of converting the city's outstanding variable rate bonds into fixed rate debt. So the ordinance before you this morning is the first step in making that happen. With approval of this ordinance, I expect that within 60 days we'll be out of all of our auction rate securities entirely. Happy to take any questions on it.
What kind of fixed rates are we looking at?
At this point, probably somewhere between 5% and 5.5%. Yeah, these are taxable bonds, so still a very good market.
No subprime mortgage exposure.
It's all rolled up into what's going on in the market, but it doesn't affect our bonds directly at this point.
Other questions? Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 255.
Authorized contract with Compass Resource Management for $103,415 for consulting services to create a district energy system for the North Pearl District Development Area.
Second reading, call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard? Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Rob or Tom, is this next one pretty quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and read 256.
Which item?
256.
Authorize an interim agreement with Hoyt Arboretum Friends Foundation for its continued cooperative management of the facilities and programs at Hoyt Arboretum.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This is an interim management agreement with our wonderful friends at the Hoyt Arboretum Friends Foundation. Since 1996, the Friends have been stewards of and treasures in Washington Park, and we are currently working with them to develop a long-term agreement that will move the partnership forward. As a result of the council's approval in the past, the Parks Department has invested a capital investment of $120,000 this fiscal year alone on much-needed irrigation improvements and plant replacement. It's an emergency ordinance as the current agreement has expired, and if you have any questions, we have somebody here to answer them.
Any questions? Is anyone signed to testify on this matter?
Sign up sheet.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Since it's an emergency vote, we have to wait for...
Turn to the vote after 10:30.
It's going to be probably about a half-hour presentation. So
we have 4 more minutes.
Oh, we have 4 more minutes.
So folks, consider this a little break. Call the vote.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Let's go ahead and read the 10:30 time, sir.
Item 246, Office of Youth Violence Prevention presentation.
Staff, come forward. Today we're going to hear a 6-month report from the Office of Youth Violence Prevention. The council established the office to provide funding, guidance, and to act as a resource to organizations with a proven history of providing successful services, gang outreach, intervention, mentorship, tutoring, and family support. You just have to look at the headlines in the past few weeks to see that the need... That's a nice song, Harry.
I'm sorry about that. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Have a good way to start it off.
Sorry about that. Music.
Gangs are recruiting children as young as age 10, and they're no longer content to stay in isolated pockets of our community. The 5 community organizations that are being funded with city small grants have already touched the lives of hundreds of youth in our community as well as their families. These grants are providing recreational activities, drug and alcohol counseling, job training, job placement, and access to health clinics in addition to academic programs to some of our most at-risk youth. Joining us today are Rob Ingram, the Director of the Office of Youth Violence Prevention, Tom Peavy, Policy Manager, and Harry Jackson, Public Safety Coordinator, as well as representatives from the organizations Brothers and Sisters Keepers, Catholic Charities, El Programa Hispana, Emmanuel Community Services, ERCO Asian Family Services, Latino Network, Native American Youth and Family Center, and Oregon Outreach, Inc. I'm going to turn it over to Rob Ingram.
Thank you, Mayor, very much, Mayor. And Commissioners, good morning. My name is Rob Ingram. I'm the Director of the Mayor's Office of Youth Violence Prevention. Okay, so first off, is why is funding for youth violence important? And if you look at the PowerPoint on the screen, it gives you some ideas, some of the recruitment patterns and the fact that this is still a dangerous place for young people, aside from the work that's still been done. So the office was established by the City of Portland in 2006, as the mayor said. There are currently three full-time staff, myself as the director, Mr. Peavy is the policy manager, and Mr. Jackson is the public safety coordinator. In 2006, the city approved the office to fund services for service providers for outreach, intervention, and referrals to services such as counseling, education, and recreation. The monies were offered through an RFP process. The selection committee chose two summer programs and five year-round outreach intervention programs to be funded. The service population in the year 2007 was gang-related at-risk behavior identified at a housing area and several parks in northeast Portland. Summer, fall, and winter of 2007, other areas such as northeast Portland, southeast Portland, and Gresham were impacted by the same behaviors. Grant funds were distributed as follows. Five year-round programs received $310,000. The two summer programs received $50,000, and the remaining $40,000 were for administrative costs. The outcomes for the organizations were to contact 50 youth weekly from varying populations, make contact with the families of those youth, and if possible, to connect them with the proper services. Although challenging to quantify, the office has demonstrated and produced tangible results in reaching children, linking them with services that will have a positive impact on their lives, and also forging relationships with adults that they can trust and cooperate with. The Gang Violence Task Force has always been a big part of the office's work, too. The task force is co-chaired by myself, the director, and provides a biweekly meeting of law enforcement, service providers, outreach providers, neighborhood organizations, and coalitions and citizens. The Gang Violence Task Force has provided the largest service provider venue in Portland area where attendees can retrieve valuable assistance and support and build collaborations for problem areas and or youth. Meeting notes and attendance is tracked and posted on www.portlandonline.com by the policy manager to allow anyone access to the information. Harry Jackson's been the public.
Rob, your PowerPoint's not keeping up with your
speech. Oh, it's okay.
Okay, because I know you have a PowerPoint here.
Yeah, Tom's got it.
That's me.
Sorry. Okay. We're getting you.
Harry Jackson's the public safety coordinator. Harry's position was filled in 2007. As you well know, Harry's a well-respected, probably retired for about 7 minutes, police officer. Harry.
Slacker.
I began this position in 2007 after retiring from the Portland Police Bureau after 26 and a half years, 30 years in law enforcement altogether. I serve to be the present support system in the community, helping service providers, law enforcement, and citizens. Last May, while stationed at New Columbia, I was able to help restore safety and order there. In August, I helped out at Peninsula and Pier Parks in North Portland. I also established coordination of large events where youth gather. In September, I relocated to East Precinct in an effort to provide the same community strengthening and support as I had in North Portland. As at-risk youth behavior presented itself more there, we wanted to offer services that keep citizens safe. I worked with school administration from David Douglas and Portland Public School Districts. From October 7th through January 8th, I organized three large community meetings in space provided by Concordia College in Northeast Portland. Out of these meetings, citizens were educated about the problems facing our young people and possible solutions. My position provides valuable communication and research for the Office of Youth Violence and Prevention and the community. Thank you.
Thank you. I am council members and mayor. I'm Tom Peavy, the policy manager for the Office of Youth Violence Prevention. And my purpose here is to define more fully the small grant program. In December of 2006, the Portland City Council approved through ordinance the ability for this office to offer grant funding to existing private nonprofit organizations to provide a range of outreach, intervention, prevention, counseling.